Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Greg Maturi, currently the pastor of St. Dominic's Parish in Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
It's great to have you again today. And we're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. We're in Part 3 and Section 1, and today we're going to talk about the Beatitudes. What are the Beatitudes, Father?
Well, the Beatitudes, as the name implies, is the way to happiness. You know, God has made a promise that He will give us the grace we need through the sacraments to live a life that will lead us, that will make us happy here and lead us to ultimate happiness of heaven. The Beatitudes, of course, for St. Thomas Aquinas, the Beatitudes were the acts of perfect virtue. In other words, and it was really with St. Augustine. St. Augustine started what was called the Sacred Septenarium, the Sacred Seven. He took the Beatitudes and he matched each Beatitude with one of the seven petitions of the Our Father, with one of the seven virtues, with one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the idea was the gifts of the Holy Spirit perfect the virtues, and then acts of perfected virtue are the acts of the Beatitude.
Great. Could you share with us what the scriptures say in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, about the Beatitudes, what they are?
Sure. I'll just read it here. Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you."
So in that first Beatitude, Father, our Lord says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What does that phrase, poor in spirit, mean?
Yeah, it's interesting. The poor in spirit. It's the notion that we. I don't think poor in spirit necessarily means materially poor, though it can be. But I think what poor in spirit means, we rely on God. We don't rely on our own resources. We don't rely on our own intelligence. We don't rely on our own money. But we rely on God, and we put everything at the service of God and His wisdom and His commandments and obedience, so that we prize what God says as more important than anything else. I think that's what it means.
So if I'm poor in spirit, I realize how much I need God.
Exactly.
And I can't depend on myself. I have to trust in His power, His love, His mercy, and His will for my life.
You know, I know rich people, materially wealthy people, who are very poor in spirit. They give their money away generously. Like, they give their money to Living Bread Radio, and they help to support good Catholic things like Living Bread Radio. And so even though they're wealthy materially, they're poor in spirit, because they know that their money comes from God and it belongs to God, and they are stewards, and God has given them this to distribute according to His wisdom, according to His will. And they're very humble. You know, sometimes material wealth has the effect of making us very proud. And poverty in spirit, I think, is the opposite of pride. It's humility.
Mm-hmm.
That now we'll talk about meekness later, but this notion that if we've accomplished great things, if we've accumulated a amount of money, somehow we get this false impression that uh, we we did it ourselves. We're self-made persons. We don't need to rely on anybody else. We don't need to rely on God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think poverty in spirit is just the opposite of that.
Our priest, Father Joe, said that a good definition that he heard was humility is knowing that God is God and I'm not. So it's that acknowledgement and that wisdom of knowing that God is the creator, he's in charge, he's the boss, and our job is to listen and to obey.
Well, like the Lord said to St. Catherine of Siena that she records in the Dialogues, the Lord says to St. Catherine of Siena, I am he who is, and you are she who is not.
Well put. Okay, and the second one, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We've all experienced pain and suffering in our lives.
You know, it's one of the terrible things about the current state of affairs in the world is that innocent people suffer, and sometimes very terribly. And, Jesus, and so the question, you know, the age-old question is, why do good people suffer? And Jesus answers that by the cross. He took on suffering himself. And he says that those who mourn will have a share in my sufferings. And take comfort in the fact that these things give you a share in my life, because it's a share in the life of Jesus Christ that we're working for. And so blessed are those who mourn. Because of terrible tragedy. Not because of the tragedy itself, because they have a chance to offer it up for the poor souls in purgatory and for other people who need the grace of God. But more to the point, it helps to unite them more closely with Jesus Christ on the cross.
Well said. That's one of my favorite teachings of the Catholic Church, is that of redemptive suffering. That we don't just have to suffer for nothing or, you know, why me? But we can actually unite it with Christ's suffering and offer it up for the holy souls in purgatory and for the salvation of souls to Jesus Christ. We can actually utilize it and make it valuable, have value when we suffer and when we're in pain.
Right. Suffering is never wasted. It all works to the glory of God and the building up of the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
And the other thing I like to keep in mind when I'm struggling or suffering is that in the big picture of things, even if we're blessed to live till we're 70 or 80 or 90 years old, compared to eternity, it's a blink of an eye. So if we can stay faithful and persevere until the end through whatever difficulties we have in life, we know that our reward is to be united with our Lord in heaven.
Amen. And I would add here that, you know, this is why it's so important to be nice to people, to smile, to be friendly, even when you don't feel like it, because you never know what people are suffering interiorly. So St. Paul says, say the good things men need to hear. And just very little things can help people who are mourning.
Okay, good point. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What's that word meek mean?
Yeah, the meek, those who are not the powerful. You know, in Hebrew, it's the anawim, the little ones, the beaten up ones. The ones who the world marginalizes and discards, those are the meek ones. And the part of the grace of Jesus Christ is to help us to realize that what the world considers important is not necessarily what God considers important.
Good point.
But the meek are those who understand that truth.
Beautiful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
Yeah, to hunger and thirst for justice, for doing what's right, and not just justice in the sense of somebody breaks a law and they should be put to jail. This righteousness, this justice, has to do with our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. That to hunger and thirst, that you know, our relationship with God will always be right. And that our relationship with each other will always be right, that we'll always be in right relationship with God and other people.
Beautiful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Mercy, that's, you know, mercy is specifically a Christian virtue. You don't find mercy prior to the Judeo-Christian notion. You don't find mercy a lot either in other religions or in the world itself. And mercy is very important because why? Because God showed us mercy. We were all sinners and deserved to be sentenced to eternal damnation. And yet God, in his tremendous mercy, sent his only Son to save us due to no merit of our own. We didn't deserve it. But he showed us great mercy in sending his Son to save us.
And when you say, Father, that forgiveness of others starts with first being able to forgive yourself and being merciful toward yourself in the right way, not that we're lax in, you know, examining our consciences, but when, you know, we forgive ourselves for our shortcomings, I think it makes it easier for us to be that way to others, to be unconditionally forgiving and merciful to others.
Well, that's right. Satan, this is one of the ways Satan tempts us, is he tries to convince us that our sins are not forgiven, that God has not given us mercy, and that we should still feel guilty and bad and put ourselves down because of past sins. But the truth is, once we've gone to the sacrament of confession and confessed our sins and received absolution, those sins are gone. Now, we still retain the temporal punishment due to sin, namely the deformation of our character, but that's worked out through the life of grace, the moral life that we're talking about here in the third section of the Catechism.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does that phrase, pure in heart, mean?
Yeah, pure in heart. Well, certainly at one level, it means purity in our relationship with others. And purity, but it also means to have a mind that that accepts who God reveals himself as. In other words, it says you will see God. You will see God if you accept who he reveals himself as. In other words, we have this tendency to conjure up our own images of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God needs to purify us of our false images of who he is.
That's a great point.
So that we can see him as he truly is, to accept in humility how he reveals himself.
Well said. That's a good point. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
Yeah. Peace. Shalom. Salam. You know, it's the Jesus is the King of Peace, Prince of Peace. He comes to bring peace. Peace, first of all, between us and God, which is the basis of peace between us and other people.
And boy, if you look around the world today, there's not a whole lot of peace in our own country or in other parts of the world. We really need to, you know, start with what we can do. And you said it, smiling and just being kind to one another.
You know, we have a choice. We can be peacemakers or we can be troublemakers. Your choice. Why not be a peacemaker? Why not look to Jesus Christ to help you establish peace in your own life? And then through the grace of the sacraments, and then show that peace to others. You know, I just want to say the Greek word for blessed is makarios. So sometimes these are called makarisms, blessed. And peace is part of the blessedness the Lord holds out to us.
Excellent. That was Father Greg Maturi. Father, I want to thank you for joining us today as we go through the Beatitudes in the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. And I want to thank you, listeners, for joining us for Faith with Father here on Living Bread Radio. This has been Tim Perry. God bless you.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.